Welcome to Warwick Arts Centre, the Knowledge Centre, and we have a group of four of us here, and we're going to talk about working capital. First of all, let me introduce the panel. I'm Greer Palmer, Assistant Dean for Teaching and Learning at the Business School and leading on various creative initiatives in the school.
I'm Mark Taylor, I'm the Dean of Warwick Business School.
I'm Jonathan Nealands, I'm Professor of Creative Education in the Warwick Business School.
I'm Simon Woods, and I'm a film producer.
Right, of European Drama Networks.
That's right.
To get the branding right. Well, the initiative of working capital, and working capital is both a concept, a portfolio of initiatives which will add extra dimensions and dynamism to our teaching and learning in the business school, but it's also the aim to build a creative cluster within the school. Capital itself stands for creativity, arts and performance for innovative teaching and learning. And we kicked off this initiative in Soho, which seems appropriate, back in November, led by the Dean, Mark Taylor. And I'm going to ask him to introduce his vision and strategy and how that fits in. But on this event, we had Nasser Assam, who is an internationally renowned painter and sculptor, who basically talked about where the craft and techniques of the artist can be transferred into business and where those skills don't fit and where they stand alone. Things like observation, the learning and ideas that come to the artist from close scrutiny, how that could help with the entrepreneur and the executive. Then David Kester, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the Design Council, led us on a very interesting journey, which was answering the question, could design be the link between creativity and innovation, so the actual result? And then finally, Chris Bilton from the Centre for Cultural Studies here at the university led us on a very interesting exploration of some of the myths between creativity and management and how the two, in fact, can work together. But the event was kicked off by Mark, the Dean, linking it into his new vision for the school and the mission. And Mark, maybe I can ask you to explain those links and what this stands for.
Thanks, Gray. I'd be delighted to. So I've been Dean of the Warwick Business School now for, in fact, almost exactly a year and a couple of days. And during the early part of my period as Dean, we set out, I and the senior management of the school, set out a clear vision for Warwick Business School to be the leading university-based business school in Europe, and to link with that a threefold mission statement of producing world-class research, of producing world-class business leaders, and providing a return on investment for our students and alumni over their entire careers. It's important that we not only do things that other business schools do and do it as well as they do, but also have some flair and originality and do things a little differently from the way other business schools are viewing the world. And I firmly believe that taking a broad-based view of the world is really the only way to understand it. And not only that, it's really thinking about creativity and about being original and having some flair in business and in management, and how one can bring that creativity that is at the essence of the performing arts and theatre and film and areas like that, and bring that into the business school. We are revamping our MBA programme to think about putting creativity and original thinking and critical thinking at the heart of our MBA. We've established a new teaching and research group in the business school in the area of behavioural science, which is an explicitly interdisciplinary area that tries to look at areas such as psychology and sociology and indeed, in fact, neuroscience, and think about the ways all these different aspects of thinking about behaviour can be brought to bear on analysing and understanding behaviour, and therefore understanding the way managers and business leaders go about leading their organisations and managing. Being part of a world-class university like Warwick University is extremely important for the success of the business school, because it allows us to reach out to leverage those top faculties and top departments in across the university in areas you wouldn't think normally to be allied with a business school. So departments such as English literature, for example, and theatre and film, I think are important to think about the ways that that creative initiative can be utilised and brought within the business school. And we also have important initiatives like our their recent understanding or the agreement we've come to with the Royal Shakespeare Company, for example. A centre for the teaching of Shakespeare that will be placed within the business school will be an important way of changing the cocktail and changing the culture and changing the way we think about business problems and creativity. I firmly believe that creative leaders are made as well as born.
And just picking up, first of all, the idea right at the centre of the vision, the links and collaboration inside the university. So as well as the departments, as you mentioned, there's creativity work going on now with law, with medicine, with science, with engineering, doing things in different ways with our colleagues in the different departments. Now, one thing that the listeners will be interested to know is about yourself and your links with creativity. I mean, could you tell us a little bit about how your CV links into this?
Well, a little bit. Thanks, Greg. I mean, I'm probably unique amongst, well, not unique, but I'm certainly probably unusual amongst business school deans throughout the world in that I do have a PhD in finance and a background in international finance, both as a practitioner and as an academic. But I also have a degree in English literature, in fact, a master's degree in Romantic and Renaissance literature, which I completed, I think, about 8 years ago. And in fact, my supervisor was Jonathan Bate, who is now a professor. And in fact, partly because of the linkage, when I got to know Jonathan and persuaded him to come to Warwick, he's professor at the moment at Warwick University, and is also, in fact, now a fellow in creativity. Yeah, I do have an interest in the arts. And when we started talking to the Royal Shakespeare Company last year, initially as business consultants, looking at the business plan, looking at the marketing plan for whether there would be a market out there for teaching Shakespeare in performance online, as it were. We started off as business consultants, but very quickly fell in love with one another in that I could see the potential for bringing Shakespeare and creativity and performance within the business school.
And that's Jonathan Bate, but we have a richness of Jonathans. We have Jonathan Mielens as our new professor of creative education, very much involved in the whole performance world, but wider than that. So, Jonathan, introduce yourself and a little bit of where you fit in this initiative.
Ironically, perhaps I might begin by talking about creativity from a business point of view, from the point of view of the creative economy and the timeliness of working capital coming into being. The RSC arrangement results from a long collaboration over 5 or 6 years, some of which was as part of the original capital project, Creativity and Performance in Teaching and Learning, that was a partnership funded by HEFCE between the university and the RSC. And that was a funded project for 5 years. And I think at the time the funding was something like $4.5 million. And what we know is that we now live in an age where we're unlikely to ever see that level of subsidy given to a university to develop a creative partnership in that way. And at the same time, there are challenges in the creative economy. And as part of those challenges, the RSC saw good reason to do business with us rather than to seek subsidy to continue our work with teachers in schools. And it made absolute sense to bring that business into the business school so that there was a live creative partner working, struggling to survive, making a business within the business school and getting the benefits from that. You know, we sometimes forget in thinking about creativity that the creative economy itself is a bit of a wonderkind of the economy. There's, I think, saw statistics in The Guardian at the weekend that the arts subsidy is something like 0.0007 of GDP spending, 7% of GDP spending, but it contributes 7% to GDP. So that's quite a good return on the money that it receives. So we're interested in helping the RSC, working with the RSC, but also through working capital, opening up other partnerships where we hope there'll be a portal between business and the creative economy and those involved in the creative world, and that there will be two-way traffic through that portal. So the business school will gain from the working practices of creatives, they will gain from the rich uses of imagination, they will gain from the kind of cultural and creative entrepreneurship which characterises the success of the creative industries in this country. But on the other hand, the creative economy needs the kinds of skills and help and understandings and initiatives that the business school has to offer. You know, we're living in a time where the cultural and creative industries cannot sit back and expect to receive subsidy. They're going to have to find new ways of doing business, and we're very interested in how we can learn from but also contribute to that new age.
That's a neat link, because part of the collaboration we're building inside is the benefits of business management can bring to the arts, both in terms of creative organisations that faculties and departments are working with, but also the creative students. And we've got a creative student here, an MPA alumni, in Simon, and you're very much at the forefront of some of the new things that are happening in the creative economy. Do you want, first of all, just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, perhaps even back to the rock days?
Well, my background was, my first degree was as an art student, sculpture, which I managed to fail my degree, I think, which was the traditional route then, into being a music manager. I managed a pop group who were enormously successful. Yes. And actually,
you're going to name them, I hope.
It was UB40. And what was interesting there was we were actually independent of the structure, and we set up our own record label. So there were a whole range of skills you had to bring. And what became interesting to me, and it's something that both Mark and Jonathan said, is actually a two-way process. It's not just about the arts, as in the music business, learning from business, but also what business can learn from the arts. And it's that straddling of those two worlds which I found interesting. I later morphed into running a drama school, which was another process. I was effectively the person who was responsible for running the school in financial and management terms, whilst understanding what the meaning of it was. You know, why do you exist? And it's very important to actually understand those meanings. And I think that's that sort of link between business and creativity is vital in that. And currently, I've moved into making films. I'm running something called the European Drama Network. We're making movies of classic plays on very micro budgets, and the idea is to sell them directly on the internet, because it's recognising, although you might want to make these films and these plays, the chances of you actually being able to distribute them properly, and if you do distribute them, making any money out of them, is almost nil. You know, most British films and most films will not make any money. You know, the distributor might. So it's about building a distribution base, about building a brand, and it's about using some form of creativity in your management to understand what it is that drives you. My drive is I want to make films. I'm particularly interested in commedia dell'arte, and how do you build a process to make that happen? And then how does that inform what you're doing, making films inform back into the way that you manage?
Now, you've expressed a new venture, that both the sort of the entrepreneurial students and researchers in the business school, the creative people in the faculty of arts would be very interested in, because you're combining creativity and innovation. Can we just go back to, I mean, what sparked you? How did you get to that idea? How did you see the opportunity? How did you link this with, you know, with the idea of film?
I became very interested in commedia dell'arte, particularly because it's about archetypes. It's about something where you're talking about the basis of things, and it's a dramatic art form that's lasted a long time. It's particularly European, and it's looking at how people are, and it still is relevant today. I mean, if you look at a lot of comedy duos, these are effectively, you know, commedia dell'arte characters. And actually, the link was, I researched into the background of film, where film came from, where it originally started. It started in circus tents, you know, along with sort of bearded ladies and two-headed dogs. And it was actually that link from there, that it, because it was a form of entertainment. And it was actually trying to break down the things that came around film, which were, oh, it's this cinema, this whole, you know, process that we've built up of belief, of whether it's art house film or whether it's commercial film, and trying to look back at what it was. And actually, it's about movies. It's not about cinemas. It's about a mechanism for distribution, you know. And that was the spark, really, of thinking about, well, what is it about distribution that makes it? What do I want to do? And how can I make the films that I want to make in a commercial sense and make money and not have to rely on funding? And I think that's the truth for a lot of arts. And it's about building that brand of where people will return to it. So it's about trying to do things, because too much of the film industry in Britain is basically linked to funding, you know, and the actual changes, the demise of the UK Film Council, etc., and the regional film councils will destroy a lot of filmmaking out there, which isn't really on a commercial basis.
So there's something here about rewriting the rules, yeah?
Yeah.
But I was going to point out, actually, one of the interesting points I've noticed about one of the films that Simon's made, which is a play of Machiavelli's, and I think that the fact that Simon's made that does underline the fact that this idea that there is a distinction or a dividing line between management and leadership and creativity is very much a 20th century concept. Mm. And one thinks of Machiavelli as the author of The Prince, one of the great works on political leadership and statecraft, yet he was also very much an accomplished poet and playwright.
And he was more famous for being a playwright in his lifetime
than
for The Prince, because it wasn't published until after he died. But that's very true. And something that you said, Mark, earlier about the fact that you felt that leaders could be, you know, developed and created, I think the truth is that's the same about artists. You know, we have this very 20th century belief that artists are, you know, spring fully formed, you know, and, you know, they are Picasso, rather than probably in the Renaissance period, that people went through a training, yeah. They developed. And it's the same now. If you're working with actors in a drama school, it's very interesting because you saw people develop. And it was very difficult to say who at the beginning of the course would be somebody that you really felt could, you know, be a great actor at the end of the course.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan, you'd like to talk about that?
Well, trying to understand what the special training of the actor is. I mean, we're all creative people, but not all of us aspire to be artists or can make ends meet by being an artist. So, you know, there is important special training, and I think there is an awareness in a business school that there might be something that will be learnt from that training, and also from how, you know, the exceptional artist is able to turn imaginative ideas into products of one sort or another, and what that process is about. And I think it also challenges the idea that business schools are only concerned with economic growth. You know, I mean, what we know from Amartya Sen's work and others is that, you know, economic growth works best when it's tied to human development as well. So this kind of notion of the leaders of tomorrow being very conscious of their responsibility as human beings as well as business leaders, and the fullness that will come from engagement with the arts as part of their training, I think is very important. But also this notion of people who are able to turn imaginative activity into actual practices, often very skillfully, often with a great deal of craft and training and apprenticeship behind that, and that kind of dedication and the kind of focus and passionate motivation that artists feel in order to complete their work, I think again is something that will be interesting for students to experience, as well as an essential playfulness. You know, as well as a sense that, you know, the rules are all gone. You know, the world is all up in the air to be played for. And that kind of serious notion of not being frightened, of finding bits and pieces which don't yet make a sense or make a whole or don't appear to be the same as they were yesterday. And that confidence to start to play and to experiment and to vary your problem-solving techniques. You know, these are all things which artists are familiar with. The bringing some kind of order to chaos is something which artists are very familiar with, and which increasingly the business world is going to be becoming used to as well.
It's interesting that, I mean, those are very much the outputs that we want to achieve for our students in terms of them going out into the wider world. You know, a confidence, you know, the ability to be more imaginative, to be original, you know, to be able to use technical skills and to create something new, you know, both in terms of how they see the world. So, I mean, we've talked about film and performance, but, I mean, also we are now working with the English department, particularly on writing. So the ability, you know, to frame and to think imaginatively and to write creatively as well as technically well. And also something that's very, very key to a business school, which is cases. So the experience of managing situations, but to have a more creative approach to case studies.
Well, I think that's really important. You know, Jerome Bruner talked about two modes of thought, the paradigmatic, you know, statistics, data, numbers, argument, generalizations, but also the importance of the narrative imagination, being able to think yourself into another person's situation,
yes.
Being able to see the world through other
yes.
people's eyes.
The empathy.
Which is something which the dramatic artist does, but also I think in terms of case study, that heightened awareness of the affective as well as the cognitive intellectual work in looking at a case study, actually engaging with the humanness of it in making your decisions, will be, you know, a really productive vein for us, I think.
So these are some of the powerful areas of collaboration, I think, you know, between the various groups we've talked about. The Warwick Arts Centre is very interested in the immense variety and quality of people who are coming here. How can we work with them and also they with us? So perhaps we bring this to a close. There'll be further opportunities, I think, for us to meet up again as this whole programme moves on. But I suppose I'd turn, first of all, to Simon, I mean, the person who's actually implementing his creative ideas in terms of the new business. What from the discussion we've had, what would be your final thoughts on this new initiative of Working Capital?
I think it's a great opportunity. I know that I undertook an MBA, an MPA here, and that was very important to me because it gave me a basis on which to understand both management and philosophy. And I'm very excited that the route now that we can look at what business can learn from creatives particularly is a real step forward and something very new, and I think something that will become much more important for what you said, Jonathan, that idea that people are looking at their lives beyond just the economic growth factors. Mm. People are much more complex. Mm. Yeah. And their motives are more complex.
Yeah, I think that's right. And for me, what's exciting are all of those different connections which are made possible by Working Capital. I mean, there's the connection with creatives, but that also connects us to the outside world and to real businesses. And it also connects us to other areas of the university where there are common interests. And as Mark says, often in areas of the university where you wouldn't expect there to be a link with the business school. I think the richness and complexity of all of those connections will be really rewarding.
Well, I could pick up on that word complexity. I think the world is a very, very complex place. And individuals and business leaders, successful business leaders, have to have a complex approach to solving many of the problems and really making a success of their careers and making a success of their organisations. And we firmly believe in Warwick Business School the only way to do that is to put critical thinking, creativity right at the heart of everything we do in the business school.
And we hope that alumni and people listening to this will join and join the new Working Capital initiative. So thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.